Terror of the Devastators. Joel declares that they will be a great people and a strong. There hath not been ever the like, neither shall be any after it, to the years of many generations. Joel 2, verse 2. This cannot refer to the siege of the Romans against Jerusalem in 70 AD or to any divine visitation before then, because it speaks expressly of the day of the Lord. The day of the Lord suggests Satan's assembled hosts at the end of the millennium. Revelation 20, verses 7 through 11. A fire devoureth before them, and behind them a flame burneth. The land is as the Garden of Eden before them, and behind them a desolate wilderness, yea, and nothing shall escape them. Joel 2, verse 3. Today Palestine is being improved by the expenditure of immense sums of money. Houses are being built. Irrigation devices are being planted to make the land productive. The Zionist movement would usher in millennial prosperity if it could. The devastating nations will find a fat field before them indeed. But oh, how terrible and unsparing the waste and desolation that is soon to come. Could we expect anything less? In that day, God will gather all nations to battle before Jerusalem. Zechariah 14. The holy city shall the Gentiles tread underfoot for 42 months. Revelation 11, verse 2. Multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision. Joel 3, 14. One's pencil fails to picture the overspreading hordes in the Holy Land in that day. Appearance of the Devastators. Joel's portrayal of them is quite similar to John's painting in Revelation 8. They are like the appearance of horses, and as horsemen, so shall they run. Like the noise of chariots on the tops of mountains shall they leap. Like the noise of a flame that devoureth the stubble, as a strong people set in battle array. Joel 2, verses 4 and 5. These graphic utterances suggest the simultaneous movement of earth planes and aeroplanes in the same direction and for the same purpose, utter devastation. Power, speed, height, flight, daring endurance, unitedness, and persistence unto perfection will characterize that warring host. Now this may seem strange that God calls them his army, his camp, Joel 2:11. Although Satan will equip that host and move them to assemble there, yet God will use them to chastise his ancient people, the Jews. See Zephaniah 1, verse 17. The earth shall quake before them, the heavens shall tremble, the sun and the moon shall be dark, and the stars shall withdraw their shining. Joel 2, verse 10. The tribulation of the Jews will be ended by the consummation of that great and terrible day of the Lord, even as Matthew 24:29 indicates. Isaiah 13, verses 6 through 11 foretells that awful day. He announces one important purpose of it concerning Palestine, saying, "He shall destroy the sinners thereof out of it." Isaiah 13:9. Those Jews who will accept the Antichrist and reject the true Messiah will be overthrown and perish. A remnant will be miraculously preserved and delivered by divine intervention. The convulsions of nature in the heavens and on the earth beggar description. There will be indescribable death struggles between nations and nations. Hitherto unknown and unused war implements in earth and sea and sky will be employed. The Battle of Armageddon will rage. Devil-possessed men will not only fight one another, but they will be arrayed with thrice-heated hatred against Jehovah and his Anointed One. No doubt some aeroplanes will attempt untried upward flights and endeavor to destroy the glorified saints, but the Lord will descend with his mighty host of holy ones and overthrow all his foes with glorious triumph. Hallelujah. Devastation reversed. Joel 2, verse 12 through 3, verse 21. Therefore also now, saith the Lord, turn ye even to me with all your heart, and with fasting, and with weeping, and with mourning, and rend your heart and not your garments, and turn unto the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and repenteth him of the evil. Joel 2, verses 12 and 13. Joel 2, 12 through 17 indicates that God will bring the dire devastations to an end upon Israel's repentance. Hence, they will be fulfilled within the seventh year of the week of worldwide trial. Turn ye is Jehovah's earnest exhortation as of a loving father to his wayward children. That was always his tender attitude toward his ancient people after he had divorced them. Hosea 13 verse 9 expresses his deep plaintive feelings. He exclaims, O Israel, thou hast destroyed thyself, but in me is thine help. Their repentance must be with all your heart. An outward apparent turning will not suffice. Hence he says, rend your heart and not your garments. We have witnessed superficial make-believe repentance. It sheds tears, rolls on the floor, and tears its raiment, but it has no depth and does not last. It turns seemingly because it was caught in a wrong or because it wants to be delivered from trouble. When the heart is actually torn with sorrow because of departure from the Lord, there are abiding results, for he is drawn on the scene thereby and accepts those who turn to him. Hope. Who knoweth if he will return and repent and leave a blessing behind him, even a meat offering and a drink offering unto the Lord your God? Joel 2, verse 14. Joel was not in doubt concerning God's mercy. He knew what is written in Deuteronomy 4, 29 through 30, where Moses said, In the latter days, if thou turn to the Lord thy God and shalt be obedient unto his voice, thou shalt find him. Peter declares that the Lord is not slack concerning his promises as some men count slackness. 2 Peter 3, 9. Some people are perplexed about God repenting. It is not as if he had done wrong, for he cannot do evil. He does not even change his mind, but his attitude toward men is changed when they turn from their evil ways unto him. Note the references from Genesis 6:6 and study especially Isaiah 63 verse 14. You will see that God never swerved from his purpose of cutting off the old creation and of bringing in a new creation. His repenting or repenting not hinged on that purpose. Finally, observe that whatever he did, it was to make himself a glorious name, Isaiah 63:14. That is his ultimate object in showing mercy to Israel and replacing them in the promised land. Offerings. A meat offering and a drink offering, the blessing which Joel hoped the Lord would grant, is yet future. See our notes on Joel 1, verse 9 and 13. Israel will resume their sacrifices, foreshadowing their hope of the coming of the Messiah. God will show his favor temporarily by accepting them. Presently, the Lord will reveal himself to them from the skies and bless them as indicated in Joel 2, verses 18 through 20. A great revival due. Gather the people, sanctify the congregation, assemble the elders, gather the children and those that suck the breasts. Let the bridegroom go forth of his chamber and the bride out of her closet. Joel 2, verse 16. The exhortations of the preceding verses will be heeded. Young and old, great and small, will assemble in Jerusalem and cry out to God. The crushing heel of the nations will drive the Jews to the Lord. Psalm 85 will be the voice of their entreaty. Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? Psalm 85, 6. With fervent expectation, the awakened prophets will exclaim, Come, and let us return unto the Lord, for he hath torn, and he will heal us. He hath smitten, and he will bind us up. After 2 days, 2,000 years will have passed, will he revive us. In the third day, at the beginning of the millennium, he will raise us up, and we shall live in his sight. Hosea 6, verses 1 through 3. How to precipitate a revival? Let the priests, the ministers of the Lord, weep between the porch and the altar, and let them say, Spare thy people, O Lord, and give not thine inheritance to reproach, that the heathen should rule over them. Wherefore should they say among the people, Where is their God? Joel 2, verse 17. It appears that the temple will be rebuilt between now and that time, probably not the one described in Ezekiel 40, see Isaiah 60 verse 10 and Zechariah chapter 1 verse 16. And yet, will not Daniel 9:25 have another fulfillment? The street shall be built again, and the wall, even in troublous times. The prayer of the priests will be, "Spare thy people, O Lord, and give not thine heritage to reproach, that the heathen should rule over them. Wherefore should they say among the people, where is their God?" That will be the time of the treading underfoot of Jerusalem for 3.5 years. Revelation 11 verses 1 and 2. It will be the period of Jacob's trouble. Jeremiah 30 verse 7. The great tribulation, which there has been none greater. Matthew 24 verses 21 through 22. Oh, will there not be a dire need of repentance and crying out to the living God? A remnant will weep and wail, lament and mourn. Yes, it is the remnant always who saves the situation by their bitter tears and dying groans. They will refuse the rulership of Antichrist. He is not Israel's Messiah and King. Infidels will yell mockingly, saying, "Where is the God of the Jews?" Then he that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure. Psalm 2 verses 4 and 5. See also Proverbs 1 verses 24 through 32. The proud and haughty shall be humbled to dust and destruction, but the Jews, who shall humble themselves before Almighty God, will be exalted forever.